Well, we did a quick dash from the KS Arto greenhouse over to the KS Arto kitchen. And who do we find there but Chef John Ash?
I'm here.
John Ash.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I'm doing very well, too, and I hope our listeners are, too. And we have a great couple guests coming in about 15 minutes. You will love meeting these guests. We loved this new book, and the great thing is that they're Sonoma County residents, which is very exciting, and we think it's going to be a ball having a conversation with them. But we've kind of lost track of some of John's recent articles. This one came out about a month and a half ago on tomatillos in the Press Democrat. A beautiful article, full color photographs by John Burgess. And I think a lot of us, when we're shopping maybe at Mexican markets, we see something called tomatillos and we don't really know what to do with those. Would you talk a little bit about them?
They've become a staple in Latin cooking, Mexican cooking. They're the basis for salsa verde and all of that. So, there are a lot of things to do with them now, but maybe not so many. Maybe people forget that they have lots of qualities. And the amazing thing is that there are many varieties of them. We get used to seeing the one that we see in the store is that bright green one with the papery husk.
Yeah.
But there are purple ones and white ones, and they have a little bit different flavor to them. And I use them kind of in non-Mexican things. I think they're a wonderful addition to vegetable soups and stuff like that. So it doesn't need to be Mexican inspired.
And once all the tomatoes are gone for the season, tomatillos continue to hang on.
Yeah, they're different than a tomato. I mean, they're in the same family, but they have a you've had them.
Oh, sure.
A kind of tart flavor to them, where regular tomatoes we tend to think of as sweeter and things like that, but they add so much to things. I think you should throw them in anything. And I included a recipe for salsa verde, which is my favorite.
Is that your favorite?
Yeah.
Do you know who else is his favorite is salsa verde?
Who?
Is Dave Fazio.
Is that right?
And you've seen Dave for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Here. Mention that to him, how much you love salsa verde.
I will. And maybe I'll bring some in, and he can try mine versus his.
Love this. And they grow actually well here in Sonoma County.
Oh, tomatillos. They are like a weed. Yeah. Once they get going, you'll have to whack them back with a machete. And they grow. Actually, in Sonoma County, when it gets frosty, they stop growing. But they grow around the U.S. and in Mexico all year round. So they're always available.
Marvelous. Well, I don't think you have written a column devoted to tomatillos in my... Have you?
No.
Oh, so after all 35, 40 years of writing, this is your first tomatillo column.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Well, and it's because I like them so much. You know, that I've taken to writing about things that, well, people should know a little bit more about. And I have people ask me all the time, well, how do I use them? You know, can I use them like green tomatoes? Can I do this? And yes, you can, but they really have a different purpose.
Well, what I think of for green tomatoes is the number one way to use them is fried green tomatoes. I don't think you can do a fried green tomatillo, can you?
Well, you can, but it's not going to taste the same as a fried green tomato.
May want to pass on that application.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about prepping them. They have this, people that have not worked with them before, they have this papery covering on them and the husk.
Yeah. They are related to ground cherries. That's another one that'll grow wild in your garden. Also, the shrub called Japanese lanterns, which have that same papery husk to them, and all of that. So they're in that family.
So when you're preparing them, you take off the husk. It's a little sticky sometimes.
Yeah, so you still want to wash them. Okay. But that's all you have to do.
And that's all you have to do. Well, you include a number of wonderful recipes for these. And if you want to store them, what's the best way to store them if you're not using them right away?
You know, you can. They hold up pretty well in the fridge, in a paper bag.
Okay. Keep them for a couple of weeks even?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen people like the tomato plants pull out the whole tomatillo.
Yes, yeah.
And hang them upside down in the garage or something. Yeah. And use them for the next several months.
Right.
Well, they do well. Well, the first one is a stunner, the photo that John Burgess took. It's roasted salsa verde, which you just mentioned is your favorite way. Is it your favorite way to use tomatillos?
It's how I use them most often, because it's delicious on anything that has a kind of Mexican lilt to it. And they're so easy to do. The key to it, I think, is to take them and grill them either on top of the stove or on a grill first, because it develops more flavor.
Oh, and do we take off the grill, the black char?
No.
Oh, that's part of it.
Yeah.
So the roasted salsa verde, some jalapenos, white onions, garlic, cilantro, a little sugar or honey in the verde.
Well, partly because the salsa verde tends to be a little tart, depending upon the tomatillo. So just a touch.
Just a touch. Yeah. And this is very easy. And if you don't want to grill them, you could broil them in your broiler also, develop that nice char. So this is a very easy recipe to do. I would probably use it maybe on carnitas or something.
And tacos.
And tacos, too.
Carnitas.
Oh, and gosh, I'm getting so hungry. It's a wonderful application for this one. The next recipe is sopa de lima. Would you talk about that for a moment?
Well, this is a classic dish from the Yucatan. And it is soup, sopa, with chicken and tomatillos.
It's that simple?
It's that simple.
If you can make your grandma's chicken soup, you can make this.
And it's really good for you.
Do you serve this with, is it over white rice?
You can do it over white rice. And you can throw in other things to it, too. Like, I'd love to take little tortilla strips and fry them so you have something crunchy to put in there, and avocado and lime and all of that stuff.
So, as the weather gets colder, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Next one is a wild mushroom quesadilla with avocado tomatillo salsa. And we could use domestic mushrooms, I guess.
You could, but they're, you know, we're so lucky now that we have domesticated wild mushrooms that have even more flavor to them, I think. Our friends at Gourmet Mushroom grow these, and you can find them in many markets, and they're really great.
So an assortment, you don't actually recommend a particular one, but any of those.
No, what you like. And if you don't have that, just button mushrooms are fine.
And this one includes, of course, quesadilla. It has to include some cheese, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you use a Mexican-style cheese for these?
Yes. So you can use Jack, which is not a Mexican-style cheese, but if you go into the Mexican market, you can get Asadero, Oaxaca.
They're all good melting cheeses.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for. You want this to be melty. Things like cotija and those which are crumbling cheeses don't melt very well.
Avoid those.
Yeah.
Not for this application, for the wild mushroom quesadillas. Next one is, huevos rancheros verdes.
Yeah.
You got it all going on there.
Yeah, there you go.
And who has not? I think everyone must have had huevos rancheros one
time. I think so. It's kind of become a standard dish.
But instead of the red sauce or the salsa, as you mentioned, you use the tomatillo-based green sauce. The green sauce instead. Yeah. The next one is, now I wouldn't have thought of this, tomatillo salad?
Yeah. Well, this is one from that doyen of all things Mexican, Diana Kennedy, who came up with this a long time ago. And it's interesting that it uses tomatillos and chilies, green chilies, and all of that stuff. But then you put a topping on it, which is the queso fresco or queso añejo. than chicharron. You know, which you crumble up.
The crispy chicharron.
The chicharron are the crispy fried bacon skin that go on there, which are really delicious.
Are they also known as pork rinds?
They're known as pork rinds, but if you're going to be authentic, they're chicharron.
Tomatillo salad. Yeah. The next one, and this has taken the country by storm, but you use tomatillo, and that's shashuka.
Yeah.
Describe that.
Well, it's basically a Middle Eastern dish. If you go to Israel and Morocco and those kinds of places, you'll see it everywhere. And they typically use red peppers and red tomatoes and to sort of make a sauce, something to put it in, mm-hmm. and then break eggs into it in a pan. Break eggs into it and let them firm up a little bit. So this one uses, instead of red tomatoes and red peppers, uses green tomatillos. So it has a little different flavor.
But it's
become a very popular dish.
And this is nice served in the pan itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bring it to the table. And it has some serrano chilies, some poblano chilies, and then the tomatillos, of course. And then you crumble some, in this recipe, feta or cotija cheese over the dish.
Yeah, usually it has a little bit of cheese. But there, it's the crumbling cheese, not the melting cheese.
Different. Don't confuse them now.
Well, you can use whatever you want.
Wouldn't be the end of the world.
Yeah.
Well, here it is, the wonderful tomatillo recipe package from Chef John Esch. And you can go to the KSRO website after noon today and try some of these wonderful, wonderful dishes. We'll take a break and we'll come back. And I'm just about ready for a Bloody Mary.
Are you?
Yeah, I think I'm about ready.
Even on this cold weather?
I am. And yeah. I think we have a couple waiting to come into the KSRO kitchen that can fill the bill. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Esch in the KSRO kitchen.
Breaking down the news.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
KSRO Sonoma County's News Talk.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Hi, Sonoma County. Devin with Hook and Ladder Winery here. Harvest has arrived, and it is one of the most exciting times to visit the vineyards. Truckloads of grapes coming in, the sweet smell of fermentation in the air, and the iconic fall weather that we all enjoy. Hook and Ladder Winery is the perfect place to stop by for a visit to unwind, and with the season of celebrations just around the corner, it is never too early to stock up on some of the best wine and best value around. So make a little trip to the gorgeous vineyard setting right here in the heart of the county and see why Hook and Ladder Winery continues to be a go-to winery for locals and a destination for visitors. The tasting room is open Wednesday through Monday, and walk-ins are welcome. Or visit hookandladderwinery.com to schedule a reservation. And remember, love life, drink wine, whatever the occasion, Hook and Ladder Winery.
Oh, man, I missed it.
Missed what?
The My Sonoma Deals gift certificate from Patisserie Angelica, the Parisian-style bake shop in Sebastopol. I could have gotten a $100 gift certificate for $50. I wasn't quick enough.
Let's check them out anyway. Their website says that November 11th and 12th is their 25th annual holiday tasting open house. We can sample holiday pies and cakes and the Bûche de Noël.
I hear they'll be back with another deal soon. In the meantime, I'm going to MySonomaDeals.com to sign up for notifications so I don't miss the next deal.
Pain in your shoulder can have many causes: arthritis, injuries from a fall, or just overdoing it with a chore like painting. Learn about the causes of shoulder pain, non-surgical options, treatments, and minimally invasive surgery. Get your questions answered by a trusted orthopedic physician with Sutter Health's Joints Plus program. From advanced physical therapy to robotic-assisted surgery, sign up for the free online seminar Thursday, November 9th at 6 p.m. Begin your path to a pain-free life. Go to KSRO.com and click on the Sutter banner.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garners, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating 37 years, America's longest-running radio food program. And occasionally, we delve into the crazy world of cocktails. We've done a lot of wine, certainly, for 30, and beer, and a lot of other meads, everything else. But we haven't really investigated much with cocktails.
But, you know, don't you find that they've become so popular? I was reading, I don't know where it was, that cocktails among young people now, whoever they are, they're more popular than wine.
Probably so. So yeah. The timing is perfect to welcome Carrie Jones and John McCarthy to the radio show today. They have a new book called Every Cocktail Has a Twist. They live in beautiful Healdsburg, California, so it wasn't too long a drive for you.
Not too bad.
It wasn't. The drive down was lovely.
So thank you for coming in, first of all.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to meet you.
Thrilled to be here.
And congratulations on the book, because both John and I were saying before we met you was that when we got the book, I kind of looked at it and said, oh, yeah, okay, I've seen all this. I have about 100 other books like this. But then when I got into the book, I realized that every question I've kind of wondered about on the classic cocktails that I enjoy is answered in this book. I don't have to go through 40 or 50 books to say, okay, I'm going to try a Negroni, because one of my guest ones are going, oh, where should I look for the best Negroni? You have it all. You've done all the work for me.
Well, and the other thing we were talking about before you came on the air, that they're approachable. They're simple is not maybe the right word, but they are.
We try to make everything accessible.
Yeah, accessible. That's a good word.
So a little bit about your background, both of John. You're a professional bartender, mixologist. I'm sorry, the terminology.
No, we had to start saying mixologist in the aughts. We had to start saying that. So
how long have you been in this profession?
Since 2003.
Okay, so yes. You're 20 years plus.
Yeah.
And did you work on the East Coast predominantly?
I did. Most, almost all the work was in New York City.
Working at different restaurants developing cocktail
different bars, and different bars. Restaurants, doing the cocktail programs, working for particular brands and doing cocktail development for their brands and the PR companies for those brands. And a lot of drinks, a lot of times. Coming to a studio and bringing cocktails with me, I had my little setup all ready to go.
Oh, this is convenient. Yeah. And what about you, Carrie? Where did your cocktail love come from?
So I'm a food and drink writer. I've been in that business for about 15 years. I started out at Serious Eats, the food website.
We're a big Serious Eats fan.
Carrie was the managing editor.
I was the managing editor, yeah. I was actually the site's first intern before the launch. I was there day one, or day zero, I guess.
It's really become an important resource.
Absolutely. They're a powerhouse. Always have been. And from there, I always loved how food can get you into wine, can get you into cocktails, can get you into travel. And so my writing career kind of expanded from all that. But cocktails have been a big focus for the last 10 years or so. And we've been collaborating on different writing projects for about 10 years. So.
Did you meet over a cocktail?
We did.
Carrie reviewed me.
I did. Oh, I actually.
That's how we met.
I wrote an article about one of John's cocktail programs for Serious Eats, actually. I knew the chef and knew the restaurant was going to be great, but hadn't heard anything about the cocktails. Then came in, had one or two, was very impressed, said I'd love to interview you, and rest is history.
Oh, I love this. A love story.
So it worked out.
The joke is that the drinks were so good, I married him. Yeah. It's mostly a joke.
Mostly a joke.
And this is your second book.
It is, yes.
What was the first book's focus?
It's called Be Your Own Bartender.
Be Your Own Bartender. Mm-hmm.
We called it the world's first flowchart cocktail book. And a lot like this book, the focus is really on the home bartender and not just helping you to make better drinks, but helping you to find a drink you like and that you'll make and that you'll make again. So each chapter started out with a flowchart. So if you're doing tequila drinks, do you want a margarita or do you want something different? Do you want to pull out the blender? Is it just for you? Is it for a crowd? Is it April? Is it August? And then we had a lot of fun with that one too. It wasn't just those literal questions.
We got in our apartment in Brooklyn, we got whiteboard wallpaper. So this whole wall of our apartment was how we figured out the flowcharts. So it was pretty fantastic.
But I know one of your favorite flowcharts was the whiskey.
The whiskey, you follow the flowchart down, and it got to, are you sitting alone by the fireplace, or are you sitting with someone else by the fireplace? And those are two different drinks.
Wow, some psychology going of the cocktail world. So this is the new book, Every Cocktail Has a Twist. Master 25 classic drinks and craft more than 200 variations. And you've fulfilled the mission in this book. It's not out yet, though, is it?
Tuesday.
So November 7th is the actual launch.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is exciting. And where will you be appearing around the Bay Area?
Well, for our Sonoma County friends, we'll be at Fern Bar in Sebastopol on the 18th, November 18th, and that'll be a really casual event, 1 to 3 p.m. Everyone's welcome. Have a few sample cocktails, chat with us, we'll sign books. And then on Saturday the 11th, we'll be down in San Francisco at Omnivore Books.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes, which is great.
So for Bay Area listeners, they can see you live at Omnivore and Cesar Chavez down in San Francisco.
So can I ask you, how do you judge a good bar and their cocktails? What do you look for?
I order an old-fashioned.
Ah.
It's one of those things. It's like, and as a chef, can you cook a good chicken?
Yeah.
Can you make
a, or make like, a good egg?
Yeah, can you make an omelet? Yeah. So it's if the bar doesn't make a good bloody or good old fashioned, then I'm good. I'll have a glass of wine.
So one of the things that I found interesting in the book is where did all these names come from? Like where did old fashioned come from?
Well, I can tell you that actually. Colonial times, to the early 1800s, cocktail was actually a specific drink. It was one drink. It was any kind of booze, any kind of bitters, water, and some kind of citrus peel, and some kind of sweetening agent. And at the time, you also had crustas and sangaries and your juleps. Everything was its different thing. And then eventually people started asking for a cocktail made the old-fashioned way. Because cocktail started taking over being all the drinks. And so then late 1800s, it became cocktail made the old-fashioned way, which became the old-fashioned.
I love that you both have such a gift for the language. You encapsulate the prime characteristics and personalities of each of these drinks by three descriptors on each of them. Now, for an old-fashioned, you write historic, potent, robust. That encapsulates the old-fashioned, doesn't it?
We think so as well.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you really shouted out, because I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was just back in Louisville, and that's bourbon is in my DNA. Mm. I have friends that own and pursue that line of work. So is bourbon one of your fan? Are you a fan of bourbon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, well, hi, brother.
So there was always, my dad always had Evan Williams in the house.
I'm doing a little prayer. There
is such loyalty to brands.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take a break and we'll dive into the book. We have 25 chapters to go in about 30 minutes. But let's just touch on each one, and you both can say a couple things about that. And I noticed you brought a little something.
I have some. It's Saturday. It's late morning, early afternoon. So I have some Bloody Mary here for you, gentlemen.
And two different recipes?
Two different recipes, correct.
And you both concur that these are two vetted and wonderful Bloody Marys?
Extremely vetted.
Yeah, this is one of our favorites.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back and chat more with Carrie Jones and John McCarthy. Their new book is Every Cocktail Has a Twist. Master 25 classic drinks and craft more than 200 variations. That's the promise of this book. It comes out officially this Tuesday, November 7th. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Is your home's heating system ready for the winter chill? For a limited time only, Henry Mechanical is offering a furnace tune-up and safety inspection that includes a free carbon monoxide test and duct inspection, regularly priced at $199 for only $69. Tuning up your furnace will ensure that your home's heating system is operating safely and efficiently, help prevent costly and untimely breakdowns, and increase the life expectancy of your system. At Henry Mechanical, we pride ourselves on delivering quality service that you can trust. And for over 30 years, we've been committed to providing our customers with timely, efficient, and long-lasting solutions you can count on. Get prepared for winter by calling Henry Mechanical to schedule a furnace tune-up and safety inspection. And get a carbon monoxide test and duct inspection for free. That's a $199 value for only $69. So don't delay. Call Henry Mechanical today or visit henrymechanical.com.
Are you ready to explore the great outdoors? Before you enter tick habitat, remember to take these important precautions to stay tick-free.
First, apply repellent containing an EPA-registered active ingredient such as DEET, picaridin, or IR3535 to exposed skin. Always follow label directions.
Remember to wear light-colored clothing to make it easier to spot ticks. And whenever possible, wear long pants and long sleeves to make it more difficult for ticks to reach your skin.
While in tick habitat, stay on trails and avoid contact with nymph habitat such as leaf litter, logs, and tree trunks. Remember to periodically check for ticks on yourself and your furry friends.
After exiting tick habitat, tumble dry your clothes on high heat for 10 minutes to kill ticks.
Take a shower after coming indoors and carefully check for any ticks. If you find one attached, make sure to properly remove it immediately.
For more information about ticks and tick bite prevention, visit the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District's website at msmosquito.org.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Amaturo Sonoma Media Group present Warren Miller's annual ski season kickoff movie, All Time. One day only, Saturday, November 18th at Summerfield Cinemas with three screenings, 2 o'clock, 4:30, and 7 p.m. Proceeds benefit major renovations at the Zones Youth Center in Montgomery Village. Bid on great auction items at thezonesyouth.org/events and help support Santa Rosa's youth. Bid now at thezonesyouth.org/events. Warren Miller's All Time at Summerfield Cinemas in Santa Rosa, Saturday, November 18th. Tickets go fast, so get yours now at warrenmiller.com or the Summerfield Cinemas box office.
I'm KSL Rosedale Trucillos with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. A few clouds for today at a high of 72, 61 along the coast. Not much wind to speak of. Light rain expected tonight, low 54 degrees, 55 along the coast. Chances of rain for tomorrow, high of 68, 59 along the shores. Monday then likely some light rain and very similar for Tuesday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes. And FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. And what a great way to start a Good Food Hour program on this Saturday morning. We're with Carrie Jones and John McCarthy. Their new book, out Tuesday, Every Cocktail Has a Twist. And they are proud Healdsburg residents, having moved from San Francisco. And we're thrilled to have them here in our community. The first chapter, and I want to start because the second chapter is Bloody Marys. And we have Bloody Marys sitting in front of us. So let's blow through the Aperol Spritzes chapter. Tell us, what is an Aperol Spritz?
And Aperol Spritz is a drink that's become extremely popular in recent years. Aperol, the starting ingredient, is a kind of Amaro, a bittersweet liqueur from Italy. And the Spritz format is taking that Amaro, the Aperol, with sparkling wine and sparkling water, and then a citrus garnish. And so I think part of why it's become so popular is it's very easy to drink. It's a great day drink, a great brunch drink, something you want.
It's low ABV.
Exactly. You could have two before dinner and with few ill effects.
Yeah.
And so the Aperol Spritz is what's very popular right now, but the Spritz format you can do a lot with. So you can pick different ingredients. Some of these are better suited towards fall or winter, whereas the Aperol is very spring summer. Some are good for all seasons. We have one with limoncello that's a lot of fun. But all of them are just as easy to make as the traditional. You just pour a few things in a wine glass with ice and you're ready to go.
They're great for parties when you're multiple people, because you can kind of assembly line them up and get them out quickly, or make a pitcher.
Mm-hmm. You talk about some things that are better than others in bulk.
Yes.
You know, it's like avoid doing XYZ because it doesn't come out as good. Yes, and Bloody Mary is not one of those. It can actually be aged. Is that right?
Bloody Mary, it can last a couple of weeks in your refrigerator. Yeah. Eggnog, you can age for months if there's alcohol in it.
Yeah.
Because the alcohol would be the preservative.
But Bloody Marys, certainly when you serve them, it's best to make them the day before and at least have them steep overnight. And all of those dried spices, horseradish, all those different elements will come together.
They'll macerate overnight. When you first put it together and you taste it and then taste it the next day, you'll really taste the difference.
And then there's not much work to do
when
you serve it. Just spike it and pour it out.
Yeah, then you just pour it out.
And you have a lot of Bloody Mary recipes in the book, so it'll one size does not fit all. There's all kinds of these. You have two in front of us. What would you describe these?
Yeah, what we did for you today is we're using, because we have several different Bloody Mary mixes. This one, and then we did different drinks with those mixes. So this is the same mix, but two different drinks.
Got it.
So this is our, it's almost like a life hack. This is our four-ingredient Bloody Mary. Some of our Bloody Marys have lots of ingredients. They're not labor-intensive. It just, there's a lot of things to add to it.
Have your spice cabinet.
Yeah. And some we, you know, use your blender. But this is tomato juice, clam juice, Old Bay, and prepared horseradish.
Oh, man.
You just mix it together, let it sit overnight, and ready to go.
Is that this one with the lemon?
The one with the lemon is our Chesapeake Bloody.
Oh, I have to sip those.
And the other one we did...
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
The Old Bay...
Imagine it with a shrimp on top.
Yeah. The Old Bay
shrimp.
Does all the work.
Did you bring a shrimp?
We didn't know if it was smart to bring into the studio. Although maybe it wouldn't be the first one.
It'll air out. They're allergic.
Allergic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that was smart. See, I didn't think about it. I only thought about myself. Well, this one is delicious.
But we love just how the Old Bay does all the heavy lifting for that.
Idea.
And the clam juice just kind of, it has a subtle umami.
So it uses clamato?
No.
No.
Just pure tomato juice and then clam juice.
Just jarred clam juice.
Yeah, jarred clam juice.
Which has more flavor than clamato.
Yeah.
And the other drink was
the other one is our sake Mary.
What?
Because the sake with the clam juice just went so well together. So it's the same batch, tomato juice, clam juice, Old Bay, and prepared horseradish, and then sake. And then we serve it with cucumber spears and a little pickled ginger.
Kind of a sushi bar inspired garnish.
Yeah, that's great.
But we find that the sake picks up the salinity and the umami in the Bloody Mary base with the clam juice. So,
whereas we have a Bloody Mary with bourbon and bacon that kind of punches you in the face, the sake Mary is a little more like subtle and nuanced.
Oh my gosh, there's restaurants that were doing the trolleys of bacon that they would wheel around for your Bloody Mary.
Yep, and your little cheeseburger with fried chicken on top.
It was nuts.
So you have one, just because we talked about it earlier on the show, a tomatillo mix.
Yes.
We do. Yeah. The tomatillos, the acidity.
Yeah, we love the way the acidity of the tomatillo kind of comes out, and it has we love a spicy Bloody Mary, and obviously Tomatillo has such an affinity for different hot peppers.
Yeah.
So that's when we pull out the blender for. We have the tomatillos together with both jalapeno peppers, and because it can be hard to judge the heat of a jalapeno, some can blow your mouth off, some are really just more vegetal. And we find that serrano peppers are a lot more consistent. So we have both of them.
We put a little segment of serrano in there to make sure that we got like the right amount of heat.
I had never heard of this third category, cobblers. What are cobblers, that whole section of drinks?
Cobblers are referred to as the first air conditioner. So it's also how the straw was invented, was for the cobbler. This is way back.
Early, mid-19th century.
Yeah, people are drinking a lot of sherry. So you muddle oranges, put some sherry in it, cover it with crushed ice or cobbled ice, which is like pellet ice or nugget ice, stick a straw in it, and cool off because it's hot.
Oh, I love that.
And then the ice keeps melting, keeps diluting it, so it kind of stays as a low alcohol drink.
So you include in there a description of sherrys,
yes,
their flavor profiles. What would you use, or would you use any of them?
We are huge sherry fans, and one thing we love about it is the diversity, that you can have a Fino sherry that's even lighter and drier than your driest white wine, all the way to Pedro Ximenez, which, you know, could be a dessert ingredient.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of the kind of middle range ones, the Amontillados, Olorosos, that have all these just unbelievably nuanced, complicated flavors that come out so well in cocktails. And I think part of the magic with cobblers is we really don't put that many ingredients in them. Muddled citrus, some of the, and the sherry just together have this alchemy.
And
almost.
They find each other and create their own flavor. Oloroso's nuttiness will meet that citrus and then pair together, and it's just fabulous.
I don't think I've ever heard of them. I've never heard of anybody ordering one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they're popular.
Well, I think...
I would say they're coming back.
And I have served a lot at cocktail geek bars in New York, you know?
Got it. The fourth chapter is daiquiris. And John was mentioning before he got on, he said, I'm really glad that they're not afraid to mention brand names that they like. Mm-hmm. And you talk about a particular rum that you like. And that is the...
Banks Island
blend rum. Can you get that at...
Well, yeah. Yeah, you can get it. Yeah, you can get it in the liquor stores. Yeah,
eggnog season is upon us.
Well, yes. Can I say you made a comment about daiquiris that there are no machines to do them, no umbrellas.
You can do umbrellas if you want, but they don't have to be kind of this sugary slushy drink you think of poolside.
Like a true daiquiri is rum, lime juice, and a little bit of sugar. Not a lot of sugar, just a little bit, because sugar is a binding agent. It's not there to make something sweet. It's just to bring the flavors together and hold them together. And so a daiquiri on a hot day, that's a good thing.
But you don't need a slushy machine, as John said.
Yep.
Correct.
Then we're into eggnogs, which is great. Do you have a favorite eggnog?
I do. My favorite from the book is called Run, Run, Rudolph. And we say that, you know, Santa probably wants one of these more than he wants some cookies the tree. So we have several different ways of making a classic eggnog base. And from there, we add whiskey and coffee liqueur.
Ooh.
So it's kind of the character of an Irish coffee, but in an eggnog form. And it's really delicious.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, coffee's big. I think you have a chapter on espresso martinis or something like that. We'll take a break and be back. We're not going to get through all the other 15 chapters, but hopefully you're getting a taste of what the book is all about. It's every cocktail has a twist. It's new. Master 25 classic drinks and craft more than 200 variations. Carrie Jones and John McCarthy are joining Chef John Ash and me, Steve Gardner, in the studio today. They're proud Healdsburg residents, so they're local. Buy their book.
Embracing the conversation.
I'm afraid to think about the next presidential election.
KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk. Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Petaluma has two markets, the year-round market at Lucchese Park Tuesdays from 10 to 1:30 and Walnut Park Saturday afternoons from 2 to 5 through November 18th. Grab veggies from Ortiz Family Farm, one of the oldest Santa Rosa vegetable farms around. Rojas Family Farm has pomegranates, persimmons, grapes, and oranges from Fresno. Up your antioxidant game with certified organic berries from Rodriguez Farm. Sunray Farm offers flowers and microgreens from Sonoma Valley. Petaluma's Strauss Family Creamery offers certified organic milk, yogurt, ice cream, and butter. Anna's Seafood brings their amazing selection of fresh seafood. Enjoy restaurant-quality food from vendors like Southside Grills, Philly Cheesesteaks, and Holy Chili Mole. Start your holiday shopping early at the local crafters and artisan booths.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
This is Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO and the Amatura Sonoma Media Group. As a Sonoma County employer, it's clear that there's never been a more difficult time to find key employees. We experienced a loss of a top-level executive, and since Next One Staffing had won North Bay Biz Magazine's Best Staffing Company the past 2 years, I reached out to Next One for help. Within a few days, they provided a half dozen pre-screened, perfectly matched candidates who I personally interviewed. Three of them were immediately hireable, and I just announced our new executive. In what I was expecting to be a three-month recruitment timeline with Next One's help turned out to be a three-week all-in successful process. Ryan Buxbaum and his dedicated recruiting team did what I called the impossible. I highly recommend Next One Staffing, miracle makers for us. They can do the same for your key employee openings. You can count on Next One Staffing, getting the job done. NextOneStaffing.com.
Want the best lunch buffet in the North Bay? Mountain Mike's has you covered. Weekdays from 11 to 2, enjoy unlimited pizza and salad for one low price. It's the perfect combination of flavors and flexibility. It's the best of both worlds. Combine a slice or two of pizza with a personalized salad creation all your own. Choose from their legendary crispy curly pepperoni, classic cheese, or specialty pizza. Create your ultimate lunch experience just the way you like it. Online at mountainmikes.com.
Time to celebrate 10 great years at Graton Resort and Casino. Saturdays in November, drive home in a brand new Lexus in the $300,000 anniversary Lexus and Cash giveaway. Plus, 60 winners of $500 cash. Get your collectible anniversary rewards card. Not yet a Graton Rewards member? Sign up today and get up to $500 in free slot play. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Yes, we are enjoying ourselves today because we're with Carrie Jones and John McCarthy, the authors of Every Cocktail Has a Twist. It'll be out November 7th. Master 25 classic drinks and craft more than 200 variations. They are Healdsburg residents. Yay! So support this book and go out to Fern Bar. When is that? November what?
November 18th.
And meet them and try some samples. And then if you're in the Bay Area, Omnivore Books next Saturday. That's November 11th in the afternoon.
So will you be serving drinks?
We will. At both.
We will.
So we wanted to move, John, you wanted to go to Mai Tais.
Mai Tais. Well, you wrote in the book that it's widely misunderstood and that it has this colorful history of Trader Vic's and Trader Don's or whoever he was. So can you fill us in a little bit?
Well, the Mai Tai was one of the iconic drinks of the tiki era. And the thing about tiki bartenders is that they were notoriously, they guarded their secrets very tightly. Mm. They did not want you to copy their drinks. They did not want to share their recipes, so much so that they, a lot of things were referred to by number. So even when you find the original recipes, it's, you know, an ounce of syrup number 2 and a dash of bitters number 5 and things like that. And the tiki culture is kind of characterized by a lot of rum, a lot of kind of an escapist philosophy that took a little bit from everywhere. It took the rums of the Caribbean and some of the visual tropes from Polynesia and, you know, took a lot of liberties with all of these cultures. But the drinks are essentially original inventions. And the Mai Tai in its most basic form is really just rum, lime juice, orange liqueur, and orgeat, which is a almond-based syrup. And the thing about the Mai Tai is it became very popular very quickly, but because people didn't have access to that original recipe, everyone just started making their own version. And that's how it became the thing you would have seen in the kind of 60s, 70s, 80s with just four different fruit juices and six kinds of rum and just anything and everything in there.
They got real sweet.
Then you went to Trader Vic's and had poo-poo platter.
Exactly.
So really, the birthplace of the Mai Tai could be considered Oakland, California?
It is, absolutely.
Hey, all right. So take that.
Native drink, yeah.
Beachcomber Don or wherever you were in Southern California. I like Mai Tais. I think they're a lovely drink.
Well, they're refreshing.
They're very refreshing.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And they don't have to be overbearingly sweet.
French 75s, I know from knowing John for 40 years, you like French 75s. Mm-hmm. What is it that appeals to you about that drink?
Well, I think it's the sparkling part of it, which I love. And also that it's simple. It's not over, it's not a heavily alcoholic drink, which I enjoy.
Well, I thought that the descriptors you used in the book actually describe you, John Ash.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, they describe the French 75 as elegant, esteemed, and effervescent.
There you go.
And I thought, when I was reading this, I said, that kind of describes John. So a perfect drink for you, the French 75.
So you also have a section on martinis.
Yes.
And God knows they're certainly popular. But you make the comment right off the bat that you don't like the martini glass.
No. And I'll tell you specifically, when you put a martini on a tray and try to walk through a crowded room with it, it's really hard to not spill it.
So what, do you have a design you come up with?
Well, there's the coupe, the martini coupe, which the sides are rounded in so that the liquid stays in the glass. It's still an up, it's still a stem glass, it's still elegant. It's just not that hard V shape. Because things spill
and it's
really easily.
The shape of a woman's breast.
Yes. The coupe is.
Okay.
The martini glass is not,
but I believe the coupe is Marie Antoinette specifically.
Yeah. That's what they say. The other thing about a martini glass is with all the teeny drinks of the 90s and us, the apple teeny, things like that, the trend became much bigger drinks. Mm. And so you'll see a lot of martini glasses that are about 14 ounces. Wow. So a martini should be about four all in. And so either they look really tiny or you have an inappropriately large drink that gets warm
By the time you're done, you have a warm drink.
And nobody wants that.
So I thought of you, Steve, when they talked about mint juleps.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which is part of your Kentucky heritage. And classically, it's you muddle the mint, right, which is kind of a mess to do, or not really easy to do for most people. And what a great idea. Make a mint syrup.
I don't know if this would pass muster in Louisville, so I've never made one there like this. But,
well, don't set foot in Louisville with that idea.
As you said, mint juleps can be a bit tedious to make for a crowd because you do muddle the mint for each one individually. And we wondered if there was a way to incorporate that mint flavor and that really authentic, bright mint flavor without all the muddling. And what we found is that, and this is always true for a julep, the garnish is key. And if you have a big bouquet of fresh mint that you're sticking your nose into, it gives such a strong impression of fresh mint that if the rest of the flavor comes through a mint syrup mixed with the bourbon, you still have that impression of bright, vivid mint.
And we do two mint syrups. We do one with fresh mint using a blender and a fine mesh strainer. And then we have another one that's a little bit of a hack using mint tea.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
That we really wouldn't do in Louisville.
Yeah.
This was kind of a walk back memory lane reading this book, too, because I'm thinking back many years when I was 21. I started ordering Tom Collins.
Yep.
And that's still a very popular. I think, what did you write about Tom Collins? It was something. Oh, here. Sleek, uplifting, and easy going. That's a Tom Collins. What do you say, John?
Yeah, yeah.
These descriptors just nailed it. We're down to the last couple minutes, unfortunately. We can't get to Whiskey Sours and Sidecars and Sazeracs and all the great ones.
But
and
you said Sazerac is not well known, I guess.
Outside New Orleans, maybe.
Yeah. That
not as much as other classics of its era.
And you mentioned that it's not for novices.
It is not. It is a potent drink.
And I wish we had time to go into the phenomenon of the Negroni. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. I don't know if you've noticed it, but
oh, yeah.
They are everywhere.
They are everywhere.
And it's one of those drinks that bartenders have a lot of fun playing around with, switching out the different elements.
And one of the things we try and show in this book, and that we tried to show in our previous Be Your Own Bartender book, is showing how these cocktails are a template, and you can interchange ingredients using that template and create your own drinks.
Would you give us your favorite number between 1 and 12 today?
11.
You okay with that?
I'm okay with 11.
Caller number 11 at 636-1350 will win an autographed copy of Every Cocktail Has a Twist by Carrie Jones and John McCarthy. They're in the KS Arnold Kitchen today with Chef John Ash and me. We're not going to be able to give this to you until Tuesday of next week, because that's when the book's officially released. But you'll be the first on your block to get a copy. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Great
so much
meeting
fun.
You. And believe me, every... you know, when the holidays come, we're having them back for another right. batch of eggnog or
Maybe
something.
Maybe we should
like
have
that.
Them over for a party.
Yes. Or do rent yourself out for parties? Not yet.
For friends.
For friends.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank
John
you.
Ash, we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Back after this.
Asking the tough questions.
I mean, seriously, are we going to do anything about China?
KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk.
Sonoma County, Devin with Hook and Ladder Winery here. Harvest has arrived, and it is one of the most exciting times to visit the vineyards. Truckloads of grapes coming in, the sweet smell of fermentation in the air, and the iconic fall weather that we all enjoy. Hook and Ladder Winery is the perfect place to stop by for a visit to unwind, and with the season of celebrations just around the corner, it is never too early to stock up on some of the best wine and best value around. So make a little trip to the gorgeous vineyard setting right here.